Log Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert, also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, CAF Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm really excited to introduce my guest this morning. Her name is Ms. Erica Maria. She's the executive director of Supreme Transitions, a nonprofit organization. She is also the luminary of the HBO documentary I Am Evidence with Law & Order SVU actress Mariska Hargitay and Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy. I think you all remember that. Erica is also a social justice advocate, and she's running for Detroit City Council District 7. She is our guest this morning. Good morning, Erica Maria.
Hello, Mr. Van Tool. Thanks for having me.
Great, and I'm glad you're here. First of all, you know, this is a tough town, and there's a lot of, it's a very demanding job. Why did you decide to run for Detroit City Council District 7?
Detroit is most definitely a tough town, but I was raised here, so that means it's a part of my DNA as well. I'm just as tough, if not tougher. I love Detroit. I thank God for my grandmothers, both paternal and maternal, moving into District 7. One bought her home in the late 50s. The other bought her home, several homes actually, in District 7 in the early 60s when my mom was born. And just our roots are embedded. My family on both sides of paternal and maternal are just deeply rooted in District 7 of Detroit. And I've just grown to love the residents here. I don't know anything.
It's on the west side, right? So what's your boundaries, the district?
District 7 includes the zip codes 48227, 228, 48204, some parts of 48204, and 48238.
Well, you know, you've got a number of challengers. You know, it's one of those jobs where you'll always be on. You know, you're always on stage. What do you think, what makes you different from the other candidates?
What makes me different from the other candidates is that I'm actually authentic and I'm real. I'm not a career politician. I'm not a rabble-rouser. I'm actually an advocate. I'm actually a community member that works for a community to get things done, solve problems, and create measurable change in a reasonable time. I understand what it takes to get things done. It's not about titles or positions. That's, you know, you can buy that, right? But to be in community, what makes me different is that I have an ear to hear, and I have the tenacity to get things done. I'm bold enough to stand, and I have been a proven leader on a national level, the state level, and here locally, advocating for policy change in the African-American community and for policy change here in Detroit. I have no issues with collaborating with several agencies, including our police department, joining community partner meetings with our current mayor, Mike Duggan, for the past 4 years, working with smaller grassroots agencies and churches, community organizations and block clubs. It's just who I am. I never meet a stranger. And as people share with me the challenges that they experience, I too experience those challenges. And so when I advocate for them, I'm also advocating for myself. And I think that's some of the things that make me different. I'm very relatable, and I'm very serious about receiving feedback and holding those members in different bodies in our state and in our city accountable for what it is that they said they would do, making sure that money is allocated and spent wisely for what we actually want. You know, as an advocate, that's my job to hear and translate what we want.
What are some of the major issues in District 7? What are you going to tackle? What do your constituents want you to tackle?
So from what I've been hearing, because I'm not a career politician, so I don't have any promises to make. I can only guarantee that I will stand up and stand firm in what we believe is right and fair and just. And so what I've been hearing from community members, from our seniors who have been legacy Detroiters who don't have access to funding for renovations to their home, we have a lot of issues in our neighborhood in District 7 as far as the streets and they're caving in.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of issues with lighting and public safety and business development. You know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs and startups, and they're missing out on opportunities to be educated and grow and get the resources that they need.
You know, I think that's something that a lot of people haven't thought about, Erica, is that, yes, we need to encourage business, some economic zones, and encourage people to do business, open up businesses, and to thrive. It seems like people don't mention that much, but we need economic activity. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that we really need. You also, you know, it takes a lot of, you talk about how tough it is in this town. It takes a lot of confidence and courage and boldness to run for an office like Detroit City Council. What gave you all this confidence? Where did you get it from? And what propelled you into this public arena?
Well, it's funny. A few things. My mom was the only girl of eight. And after my grandmother raised her children, my grandmother and my grandfather raised their children, my grandmother then turned around and adopted seven more boys.
Wow,
so I was
okay.
Raised with like 14, 15 uncles and all of their friends. I was teased. I was bullied. You know, we used to walk down Schoolcraft and cut through the train tracks to get to Butzel Rec Center in the summer months. They would tease me. I mean, they made sure that I was not afraid. If somebody bullied me, they would tell me, they would threaten me. If you scared, you know, we're going to lock you up, we're going to beat you down, you know, stuff like that. But they never hurt me. They loved me too much to hurt me. But they always challenged me to bring out the inner strength that I had. And, you know, honestly, I'm a Leo. You know, I'm a true lioness. I am unapologetic and unafraid.
That accounts for something.
Competitive. And I know my self-worth. You know, I believe in being self-aware. So that's where my confidence comes from. And I don't lose. You know, I do everything to accomplish my goals.
Well, Erica, you are a social justice advocate.
Yes.
How did that happen? Tell us that story. How did you become a social justice advocate?
I became a social justice advocate by experiencing adversity myself. Several layers of adversity. I was a teen mom after losing my mom. My mom passed when I was 16 years old. I had my oldest daughter my senior year of high school. So just before I turned 18, I became a mother without a mother. I was able to enter Wayne State early because I had graduated from high school before I had my daughter my senior year. And trying to navigate systems was very hard for me at that time. Mm-hmm. Either I was too old or I was too young. I had too much education or not enough education. I just never really fit into a program. But I found myself homeless and experiencing so many hardships. And these policies that were in place did not make sense for me. And then I experienced my sexual assault. And that's when I decided to relocate because I just cannot see my hand in front of my face. My outlook for life is very, very dim. And so some friends who were in school in Alabama, they invited me down just to kind of recalibrate. And I noticed how their systems and policies were very different for the city residents. And I said, wow, things like, you know, like this were happening in Detroit, people would be able to get, you know, the help that they need. They would be more empowered. And so I came home with the idea of a more in-depth intake system to help people get leads and referrals to accomplishing their goals. And that's when I decided to start my nonprofit organization, Supreme Transition, which is a leads and referrals agency. But our primary goal, and that is our initial contact, we do an in-depth intake. We have a one-on-one conversation, a keep-it-real conversation, where people can tell me, oh, I need bill pay assistance. And I say, well, how's your budgeting? Oh, I pay my bills. No. Let's talk about your budget. How much do you actually spend on recreational items? How much do you spend? You know, let's be honest, and let's talk about where the issues are, and let me help you accomplish the bigger goal by creating some smaller goals. And so we started this whole wraparound system in that in-depth intake with community members, and then hosting small groups and conferences and empowerment sessions for men and women. And then as I became more comfortable sharing my survivor story, that's how we developed the component specifically for survivors of violence and I Am Evidence, which is my company name.
And I know that you have, it propelled you on a national stage, all your work. I mean, you know, when I introduced you, I noted that you had worked with the Law and Order series actress and also with Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy. I remember back when you were working on the rape kits, and that was got a lot of attention. So you were involved in that from back then.
It's very interesting because running a grassroots organization, we always need money. And you have to be creative to, you know, raise those funds. And so I generated a T-shirt that said, I Am Evidence, and the D was the Detroit D. And I was kind of shopping the idea around of having a talk show to highlight what was good and new in Detroit, because at that time we were getting so much negative press about the mayor, you know, Kwame Kilpatrick, and it was national news. And so I thought, if I could be a light to show the world that there is something good and new in Detroit, and to invite guests on to tell me what their evidence of, you know, black men who were raised by single mothers who did not become drug dealers, you know.
They are evidence of
success. I am evidence. And so that was my original mind frame, but God showed
like that.
Me, right? So I produced these shirts, and we're selling these shirts as a fundraiser, and I'm still speaking, and I'm getting more opportunities to speak on a national level. And so I went, and I was one of the speakers, the keynote speakers in D.C. on economic justice reform through the Women of Color Network, and I wore my shirt. And this young lady at my table was from Atlanta, and she looked at me, and she looked at the shirt, and she said, well, what's going on in Detroit with the rape kit backlog? And I'm never nasty to people, but I kind of bit, you know, snapped at her, and I said, well, I don't know. That's public news. Google it. And so when I went in my hotel room for lunch, I didn't want to eat with the group. That just really bothered me for some reason. I looked in the mirror in my hotel room, and I said, God, you tricked me. You got me walking around with this shirt on across my chest telling people that I am evidence in a time where it's national news that we have over 11,000 untested rape kits that have been found in an abandoned police building, and I have one. So when I came home from that, I was asked to speak in California through another national agency, but they couldn't figure out the budget. And a friend here with the sexual assault agency invited me to come and do a training for survivors.
So you literally just kind of, you fell into that role as a spokesperson.
It just fell in my lap. It literally did.
You know,
like,
and that's why I wanted to talk to you about this, because, you know, when you're running for office, like city council, you want somebody that has a proven record that they can do something, not just somebody, you call them rabble rousers. There's a lot of people out here, even in your district, that's just talking. You know, a lot of people just do a lot of talking. But right now, we need more than talk. We need actual action. We need people to do things. I think, and that's why I called you for this interview, because I see what you've already done. And that's what we need. We need people that can get things done. So I really applaud you in what you've accomplished, the real work that you're doing, the being a spokesperson, an advocate, and now wanting to take this and make change for this city. You know, because it does take that boldness and confidence. Did you ever think that you would be running for city council?
Yes. Actually, I had planned to run 4 years. I planned to run 4 years ago, but when I established my nonprofit in 2012, as I was going through the process with my mentor, Kaylin Risker, I kept telling her, you know, I've got to run for Congress. I've got to run for, you know, a larger seat. And she said, well, everybody always feels that way. And I said, no. So I even knew in 2012 that real change happens in policy change. But another difference between me and some of these others who have made it on the ballot in District 7 is that it's one thing to pick a fight, and it's another thing to know how to win a fight. And what learned through all of my experience and all of the blessings and things that have happened because I was bold enough to stand up, right, for what I believe in, is that I've learned as sitting at these tables and being a part of task force and leadership cohorts, is that you have to know how to strategize, and you have to know how to collaborate, and you have to have a strategic plan. And so it's one thing to just yell and throw rocks and pick these fights, but what if someone actually says, hey, yeah, we believe in what you're saying. Now what?
Right.
Do you actually
have
the capacity to build a strategic plan? Do you actually have the capacity to work with others? You can still stand firm on what you believe, but you still have to be able to work with others, because we are diverse in District 7. It's not just African-American people. My neighbors are Hispanic, Lebanese, you know, Chaldean. It's so diverse. White. We have white people in District 7.
You stand for everybody. You're representing everybody.
You have to stand up for everybody.
Okay.
And on an individual level and on a collective level, because we are neighbors. So outside of my family having over 60-plus years roots in District 7, I personally have lived at my house in District 7 for 10 years. I raised my children in District 7. They went to Detroit Public Schools in District 7, you know, and I've caught the bus in District 7. I've walked to the grocery store and walked home in District 7. So there are a lot of things that we need, you know, in District 7, because I have lived experience in District 7.
Great. Well, you know what? You're the residents in District 7 are going to love to listen to this, because you're obviously going to fight for them. You've been in a fight for a while. You've had a number of fights over the years. And you're standing tall now. We need somebody like you in Detroit City Council. You can get some stuff done. You can work and represent the people, and you're representing everybody in your district. Erica, Maria, thank you so much for joining us on the Michael Van Tool Show. We really appreciate it. Let me tell you, the Sunday morning team and I stand for you, and we're with you, and we would like to see you successful and at the table at the City County Building in November. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Not a problem. And if you don't mind, I just love to redirect people to show some support. I need volunteers. You can find me at www.electerica.com. I need as many people to join on board. We call ourselves the E-Hive. And it's all love. And we need
money. You need donations. You need money to spread the campaign.
Donations.
Right.
Yes.
Let's just put it out there. Volunteers and money.
We need volunteers and donations. We've already started our fundraising goals, and it's going to take a whole lot more. And so I'm thankful for those who have already donated, those who have already signed up as volunteers. We've got a great plan in place and a great team already. So I just want to invite others to come, share their experience with me, and let me be able to advocate for us.
Great. A worker, a fighter, an advocate. Thank you so much, Erica Murray, Maria, for Detroit City Council District 7. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right.